Hello again. You're listening to the News at 1. Ukraine has been forced to activate emergency power shutdowns in a bid to stabilise its electricity grid following a fresh barrage of Russian missile attacks. Residents in and around Kyiv have been warned that much of the region will be without electricity in the coming days. There are sub-zero temperatures in many parts of Ukraine at the moment, and millions have been left without power or running water. In a separate development, the governor of Russia's Kursk region has said a drone attack on an airfield set ablaze an oil storage tank. We've been speaking to Christopher Miller, Ukraine correspondent of the Financial Times, who spent several days on the front line of the war in the east of the country. He's been telling me about the situation he saw.
I spent yesterday in the frontline city of Bakhmut, eastern Ukraine, which is the hottest point of the fighting and the conflict at the moment. It's very intense. The city, which was home to about 80,000 people at one point before Russia's latest invasion, is now home to less than 10,000. And the intensity of the fighting is extremely high. Like I said, it's the hottest point on this 1,000-mile front line in eastern and southern Ukraine at the moment. And during our visit yesterday, we saw, you know, the city center largely destroyed, buildings badly damaged, Ukrainian tanks trembling through the streets and heading to the front lines there. Ukrainian soldiers had said that Russian forces were pushing closer and closer to the city, and they're working extremely hard to keep them from capturing Bakhmut, which at the moment they say has no great strategic value, but it seems to be of great symbolic importance to Russian forces. We do know that Russia's mercenary force, the Wagner Group, is working on the front line on the Russian side there. And so there is this really intense focus on the Russian side to try to take this as this sort of symbolic victory after these really devastating and humiliating retreats in Kharkiv and Kherson region. So the fighting is really, really intense, mostly in the south and the east of the country. But while I was there, I actually learned later that afternoon, once I had moved back out of the city, that there had also been this large nationwide missile attack that had taken place as well.
Yeah,
so there's that happening elsewhere across the country.
Yeah, and before we come to that, just in relation to the fighting you've seen, certainly the indications are that any expectation that there might be a let-up for the winter months, because conditions are obviously a lot more harsh than they were just a little while ago, that's not turning out to be the case.
No, I don't think that's going to be the case. The Ukrainians have said that they don't plan on pausing their offensive in the east or the south of the country. They believe that momentum is in their favor. They want to continue pushing as much as they can to reclaim every inch of territory that is theirs. The ground is hardening right now. The temperature was well below freezing the last couple of days, which means the ground is hardening. There's no moisture in the air. There's no snow on the ground here, meaning that the ground is going to be hard. It's going to be easier for infantry and for tracked vehicles to move across fields. So I do think, and I was told by Ukrainian soldiers, that they're going to continue fighting. And I would also venture a guess that the Russians are going to continue trying to make small advances in eastern Ukraine, because these conditions don't favor necessarily one side, but will favor both sides.
Now, these missile attacks, this barrage of Russian missiles yesterday on, it seems, infrastructure targets in Ukraine, water, power generation facilities and so forth. How much damage are they thought to have caused, Christopher?
These missile attacks really began in early October, and we've experienced them almost once a week since then. They seem to be getting larger in terms of the number of missiles, but the Ukrainians have actually done a pretty good job of shooting a large percentage of them out of the sky, and even increasingly so. I think yesterday there was around 70 missiles fired by Russia at Ukraine, and the Ukrainian Air Force said that around 60 of them were shot down. So that's a pretty good shoot-down percentage there. But many of them do get through, and they're doing significant damage. The authorities, and I believe President Zelensky as well, told us in our interview last week with the Financial Times that around 50% of the country's infrastructure has been severely damaged or destroyed. And so that has plunged much of Kyiv, the capital, and other cities into darkness. It's cut water supplies to a significant portion of the population in the capital and elsewhere. And this is, of course, making it extremely difficult in sub-zero temperatures for millions and millions of Ukrainians right now.
Is all of this leading to further waves of refugees, people, civilians trying to get to safety?
That's a good question. You know, we haven't seen the flood of people leaving Ukraine like we did in the late winter last year, early spring at the beginning of the invasion. But the mayor of Kiev, Vitaly Klitschko, has said that if it's possible for people to leave Kiev and to find another location to wait out the winter months, whether that's outside of Kiev and the capital or even outside of the country, he suggests they do, just because it would be less of a burden on the electrical grid. It would make things easier in terms of getting things up and running and having fewer people to supply water and power to. So they are encouraging people, if they have a safe place to remain for the winter months, to do so. But we haven't seen this surge of people leaving the country yet. But that is a concern. And if we do see Kiev, for example, plunged into more than just a couple of days of darkness without water, but a couple of weeks, then we could see this second or third wave of refugees fleeing.
And just finally, Christopher, these explosions reported, I think, at two air bases deep inside Russia yesterday, I think, and one today. I mean, obviously, the suspicion is that the Ukrainians were behind this, but they haven't certainly come forward and admitted responsibility.
That's right. And, you know, the Ukrainians have either not claimed responsibility or sort of claimed it in a tongue-in-cheek manner when they have struck Russian air bases and military targets in occupied Crimea, for example, and elsewhere on Russian territory. You know, these latest attacks, I think the Russian Defense Ministry and government there have blamed on Ukraine and Ukrainian drones specifically. And it does appear certainly as though Ukrainian drones were responsible. More information is trickling out today that suggests that these may have been repurposed Soviet-era built drones that the Ukrainians have used. So we're learning a little bit more about them. But certainly, you know, this is a blow to Russian morale. The fact that Russian air defense systems haven't been able to shoot down the few Ukrainian drones and missiles that have been shot over Russian territory, striking military targets there, is a blow to, I think, you know, the Russian military and certainly morale. And you know, on today, Armed Forces Day in Ukraine, it's something that is providing a morale boost to the Ukrainian side.
And that was Christopher Miller from the Financial Times speaking to me earlier from Ukraine.